Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a new and unique website. You guys all know this. You go to a website and it's unclear. It's hard to use. What do? You get mad. You go away. Not you. Not your website. Squarespace is going to make it easy because they make it so easy to showcase your work, your blog, for you to publish content, to sell products, services of all kinds. It all just in a few clicks. You can customize everything from the look and the feel to the settings to the products. Beautiful templates. It's very easy. It's very simple. Dare I say it? It's fun. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code CG, like me, Chris Gethard, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code CG. Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to talkspace.com/beautiful. And to show your support for this podcast, use the code BEAUTIFUL to get $30 off your first month. That's beautiful at talkspace.com/beautiful. Hello to everybody else out there who, like me, fears the ocean. It's Beautiful Anonymous. It's 1 hour, one phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun, and I'll get to know you, and you'll get to know me.
Hello, everybody. Chris Gethard here. Welcome to another episode of Beautiful Anonymous. A show where I talk to people on the phone privately, but we all know it's going to get aired publicly, and a ton of you are going to listen to it and have opinions on it. It's my favorite thing. I'm lucky I stumbled into this. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you also for everybody who's been supporting Chris Gethard Show on True TV. You've heard me really stress about it. If you haven't heard, we got 10 more episodes coming in the spring, so that's a weight off the back. And guess what? That means you guys are here on Beautiful Anonymous. You're not going to have to hear me stress about it until, like, maybe April. Probably give you till April before I'm really freaking out about the Gethard Show again. But sincerely, thank you to everybody who has been supporting us over on True TV. Thank you to everybody who enjoyed last week's episode. We called it Plant Splooge, real classy move. I'm hearing there was some internal debate at Earwolf whether or not that title should be changed. But we won out. The forces of juvenile behavior won out. Happy to say we got it. Seems like you guys on the Facebook group really liked it. Beautiful Anonymous, the community, over 21,000 members. If you're listening, it's a very, very kind-hearted group of people who sit and talk about the podcast. It's fun times. Somebody named Cassidy said, best call ever, kept talking to my phone, trying to get in on it. So happy to listen. Thank you, Cassidy. I love the image of you talking to your phone, forgetting that's not how it works. Also, someone, Lucinth, which is a beautiful name, said, I loved Plant Splooge, and I'm glad we titled the episode something that led to comments like that. Very much. A lot of people stressed out about the climate change stuff, though, and I get it, and I agree. And what can you, all right, this week, this was a fascinating call. It's a fascinating call. This is a guy recovering from an injury caused by something so random that my wife didn't. I get home, I tell my wife, this guy got hurt and he's dealing with it. Here's how he got hurt. She said, that can't be. Really? That can happen? So there's a public service aspect to this totally random chance. Sometimes life hands you bad situations. And what do? You just wait until you're on the other side of it. Caller today is in the middle of that and was willing to fill me in on what that process was like, and gets into some stuff dealing with different types of injuries and then college athletics and all sorts of stuff. But mostly I just felt good that this guy who is laid up, I could talk for an hour. That made me feel good. Anyway, interesting call, interesting caller, interesting story. I hope you enjoy it. See ya. I'll see ya. Yeah, enjoy it. I always end these weird.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, what's up?
What's up?
It's very quiet.
It's very quiet.
There we go. All right.
I had to shout.
Back up. We're up.
Okay, yeah, I think Jared might have pushed a few buttons made it a little louder. Oh, no, he says he didn't.
There you are. Okay. What's happening?
What's happening? Let's see. I'm awful tired.
Wait, can I guess?
Yeah.
You're tired?
Nailed it.
You're worried about the numbers from the show?
TV show, yeah.
Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear it. It's a great show, though.
Thanks.
I've loved it for years.
That's super nice. Thank you. Thank you for bringing up my constant fear of the TV show's numbers and laughing out loud.
I'm sorry.
Laughing.
I'm just like, that's the nervous laugh.
That's okay. I get it. Yeah.
It's not me laughing at you.
70 people's jobs on the line, man. All for this thing with my name on it. That's real dumb.
I'm just saying, you got somebody in your camp here rooting for it.
That's nice. Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
I do. I do to the point that they get annoyed. But
good. That's my. A lot of the TV show's fans are notoriously annoying people. I'm glad. That's our bread and butter right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how are you?
I'm getting there. I'm doing all right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Getting there. What's that mean?
Well, I have spent the better part of, I think, 5 months now in bed.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why? What's going on?
It's been fun. I had a head injury. I remember specifically June 19th.
June 19th, 2017.
Yeah.
Head injury. What happened?
Well, I just learned the other day that well, I was at the Rockaways, and what I just learned the other day is that waves, this could be totally wrong. Somebody just told me this, that waves pack 16 pounds of pressure per square foot or cubic foot or something. So it was like a pretty intense day at the Rockaways, and there's a wave coming at me that was like maybe a couple feet taller than me, and it just broke on me, and like it just kind of threw me, and I kind of blacked out for a few seconds. Next thing I know, I'm like facing away from the water, and then everything's fading back in, and I'm kind of dizzy. I'm like, that was weird. And just kept going about my day. You know, it was my brother-in-law's first Father's Day. I was with all my best friends. It was super great. And I was visiting from out of town. I'm not from the area. And then just like went back to my life for a couple of weeks. It's like things just got crazy from there. apparently, yeah, I had a head injury. I had a concussion. And didn't know it for weeks.
And that put you down for five months.
Yeah. And so, like, this is, like, my new thing that I'm glad I got through, because people need to know. Apparently, these are, like, no joke. Because my understanding of a concussion before this was, like, it was, like, something, you know, football players get it, and they, like, laid around for a couple days, and then you're cool, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really not the case. I started, like, basically I flew home and I was going to work, and I just thought, like, oh, I'm having more headaches than usual. This is a little weird. And then the next thing that starts happening is I'm the kind of guy that's, like, anxiety-wise, it's like traveling, I get a little nervous. You know, being in like a party situation's a little like, I can get uncomfortable. I don't really like being here. But all of a sudden I'd be at work doing just regular stuff I do all day, every day. And I just would freak out. But I'd like really tough it out and like not let anybody know. And then I just have to go home and just be like, what was that? Like, I'm just going to die and I don't know why. Whoa. And that was new.
Whoa. So it was leading to all sorts of panic attacks.
Uh-huh. Which, again, I didn't know. This is like normal concussion stuff.
Wow.
And I'm seeing my doctor. I saw him a couple times, and my mistake was, again, I thought, I didn't think about, oh, I got hit by a wave. I passed out for like a couple seconds. I just kept telling him, like, yeah, I'm having all these weird pains, headaches, anxiety. And after a couple visits, we were like, you know, maybe one or two visits away from him being like, dude, I don't know. It's off the psych. And then I had a gig that I played like the day before the final visit when I remembered, where that was where it like all kind of came to head. And that day I had like a memory of a former boss of mine telling me, yeah, my son had like a head injury and he just wasn't himself for like a couple months. And I was like, oh, I got hit by this wave. Haven't felt like myself. Like I'm really disconnected from reality, but I made this mistake. It was like a little outdoor gig and I've played, you know, all over the country doing hundreds of people, thousands of people. I don't care. I'm really comfortable with that. And this little backdoor barbecue thing, I freaked out. I drove there. I couldn't get out of the car for 20 minutes and played. And I just thought I was going to die for like an hour. I had to lay on a couch and couldn't move. And I was like, yeah, something's wrong. I'm going to ask the doctor the Hail Mary about this getting hit by a wave thing. Next day I walk in, I tell him, hey man, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I got hit by a wave. And he just is like, you're going to be fine. You have a concussion.
Wow.
And then, yeah.
And when you had that conversation with the doctor, June 19th was when you got hit by the wave. How long after it did you put it two and two together and the doctor was able to say, all right, here's what we're dealing with?
This was mid-July.
Mid-July. So this is a month.
Uh-huh.
And you've been in bed for 5 months.
Yeah, it was almost exactly a month. And he told me, so at this point, you pretty much just, I think you just lay down for like a week or two. You don't watch TV. You don't be on the computer. You don't listen to music. You don't do anything. You just lay there. You shut your eyes. You do nothing. Week or two, you're going to be fine. And then nothing's changing. And that just kind of increases your anxiety and just kind of spirals out from there.
So you just kind of have to hang out and be bored until you feel better.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing for a while. I got used to it. I got into audiobooks. I think I've listened to more books in the past 5 months than I maybe have chosen to read in my entire life.
Yeah. What do you do for work? When you said you were playing gigs, are you a musician?
That was kind of a side hustle thing and like a for fun thing. And then my day job is a audio engineer for a public radio station, which is something that I still knew at. So that was a little scary. They've been really, really incredible. So everybody go support your public radio stations because they're great. They support their employees barely.
They have to be understanding that if one of their engineers has a concussion, he can't come into work, put on the headphones, and deal with the pulse-pounding public radio output.
At the time, I was producing a local jazz CD.
Yeah, you can't
and
be.
So I'm
you can't
I'm
be messing around with jazz when you have a concussion. The clanging arrhythmic horns of jazz do not fit with a concussion.
Yeah, I was... producing these bands that are coming in, and I'm already with migraines, like trying my best to like get the best sound out of these guys. And thankfully we got good takes out of everything. We got tracks. And, once we figured out what was wrong with me, everything was usable. We passed it to another guy to finish the mixing and mastering. And, it's coming out, I think next month. So
that
project still got handled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a concussion, you can only hear the phrase tote bag so many times before you're going to just lose it.
Yeah.
You got to get out of that public radio sphere for a while.
Yeah, as nice and calm and quiet as you think public radio is, just staring at a screen all day and wearing headphones. It's a little rough. When
I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. It's crazy. I got to say, like, I'm like you. Like, I feel like I've probably had a concussion or two in my life as a kid. You know, like every dumb kid like falls down and slams his head or something like that. I know from the Gethard show, I think I had one last year because we did an episode with Gerard Carmichael where we had a tennis ball machine, one of those serving machines firing at me, and I had a bike helmet on, but it hit me right in the temple, and I felt really out of it for 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing compared to what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Like, hopefully you laid around during those couple days.
I did. I kind of just went to bed, and then 3 days later, I was like, I think I can work.
That, I learned, is the mistake, is I basically, if somebody made a list of everything you're not supposed to do if you have a concussion, I'm pretty sure I did everything on that list, short of, like, drugs, you know?
What's the list?
Sort of like, you know, like doing hard drugs.
Yeah.
What's the list? Oh, let's see. Well, I mean, I still went to work full time. I still went out to, like, live shows. I still played shows. I loud music. I still practiced, like, drums, you know, loudly in the house. I still, there's, like, actually, it's funny, if I go through my Instagram feed between the injury and knowing what it was, it's like, what am I doing? I'm playing music, doing, like, flips off of a diving board, other kinds of, like, going out for runs, being in the heat, drinking, and, like, just everything that you're not supposed to do, definitely did it. And they basically said, multiple physical therapists and doctors said, what you did is you took your brain and you did the equivalent of if a athlete plays on like a broken ankle or a broken leg to your brain.
Whoa.
It's like you did that for about a month. So it's going to be a while.
Yeah. So you basically, a wave, you're swimming at the Rockaways, the hipster haven that is the Rockaways, mm-hmm. of Queens, New York.
Yes.
A wave pounds your brain into the side of your skull, bounces your brain off the side of your skull. You spend a month doing backflips off diving boards and pounding on drums, just cranking this thing. It's at a 7 and you just turn it up to an 11 slowly over a month's time.
Yep.
And now you got to spend half a year in bed.
Actually, that was a really good way to put it. Is when you're cranking up the knob, it's what it's doing. It kind of just takes underlying things you've got going on and it just cranks it up. Headaches and anxiety and depression. And it goes, oh, you're somebody who lives with these things at about a 2. All your nerves are tightened up and trying to deal with this injury. It cranks them up to 11 or 12. And then, you're beating them down more. And that's what it does. And, my mom was not a great help during that time because she was really doing her best. she was like, I think it's just this general kind of just anxiety kind of presenting. You've had kind of a tough year. Like, I think you do just need to keep doing your stuff, you know, keep playing your music, get out and exercise. And that was on the no-no list.
Go do some backflips. Do some backflips off a diving board. Make yourself feel better.
She's been trying to make up for it. You know, I'm 31 years old, so it's kind of embarrassing, but she's been making 2-hour drives to come help with my laundry and my food.
That's awful. Nice.
Yeah.
So you live by yourself?
I live with a couple of roommates, who also try to help out a bit.
That's good. So it's not like you're just lying in bed like a prisoner in your own healing brain. You have people who can check in on you from time to time.
Yeah. It's very, like, you find out a lot about, you know, how much people care when you become, temporarily disabled, which is very, very nice. I my sister organized having people come deliver meals, and like people that are just, were casual acquaintances are sending gift cards for food. And cause I was just like, I couldn't even cook food for a couple months.
Wow.
So pretty incredible. See, like, I don't know. I just really managed to turn it into sort of a learning experience, and took it as a positive, even though I would rather have been not draining my savings on medical bills and being on leave without pay. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. And you now you're 5 months in. Do you feel are you feeling improvement at all? Do you feel like you're like on the are you over the hump or are you still just in the thick of it?
Oh man, like literally 4 or 5 days ago, it like switched off. Or well, like kind of switched. You know, it just went from I got a crash, you know, every couple hours to I can be out of bed most of the day.
Nice.
I can walk 15 to 20 minutes without giving myself a migraine or be on my trainer bike, you know, doing the same. And yeah, I'm currently laying in my sort of what I call like my, a splint, pillow. what do you put your arm in? If you've got like a broken arm,
a sling.
Splint, is it? Sling. Yeah. It's like kind of like that for your neck. Just cause it kind of relieves, still got to, rest for a good chunk of the day. And now we're just kind of just healing up because it's like a lot of neck damage too.
Man, the ocean.
But yeah.
The ocean really had its way with you. I'm never going to go in the, don't like the ocean.
I've had run-ins with it. Getting stung by jellyfish as a kid. I like the ocean. It doesn't like me apparently.
Got stung by jellyfish?
Yeah.
Someone pee on you?
Had a jellyfish. No, I think we were close enough that we were able to just bring ammonia from the beach house.
Oh, that's good.
Because I think that's why you pee on people.
It's the ammonia content.
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I still like that. I had it like wrapped all the way around my leg, and that injury, that stuck around for like 3 months. I think I'm just prone to long-term ocean injuries.
Yeah, you got to avoid the sea, man. Stick to land. You're a land dweller. This is becoming clear.
Yeah, I grew up in the water. I grew up swimming my whole life. It's just, it's the open seas, the open water is where it starts to disagree with me.
Now, I do just want to check in. You know, we're about 20 minutes in on this. I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hearing your story fascinating. Seem like a very nice guy, but I do want to make sure that talking on the phone for an hour isn't going to like give you like a migraine or make you vomit or anything.
Oh no, I'm doing all right. I was actually thinking like I forget if I've already said this or not, but like this period where I've been down and out, it's like this is the only time I'm ever going to make it through on this show because the rest of my life I'm like I'm at work. I ain't got time to get on the phone for an hour.
It's meant to be.
And,
do me a favor and just then, promise me if it hits a point where you're like, you know what, we just need to take 2 or 3 minutes so I can catch my breath, just let me know. And if people need to listen
to two minutes of silence,
that's fine.
No, I'm going to get up and get some water and snacks if I need to. I'm doing much better. Again, if this was a couple weeks ago, it would have been really dumb for me to talk for an hour.
Yeah.
But it definitely is, the socialization is a huge help. Like when people are bringing me meals and stuff, even just somebody, it would wear me out a bit, but somebody just talking to me for 20 minutes was like life changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The socialization is important.
Socialization is important. Learning about the outside world, reacclimating yourself to things that are a part of the outside world, which is not just people. It can also be products, services from the outside world. You guys see what I'm getting at here. We got ads. Let's do some ads. All of our sponsors, I thank them. They help me bring you the show for free. And there's promo codes in there. If you like the sound of what you're hearing about, use the promo code. Helps out Beautiful Anonymous when you do. We'll be back. More phone call in just a moment. Hours a day spent in bed. 8 hours a day spent on sheets. This call in particular. This caller is in bed 5 months straight. Better have some good sheets. You better have your Brooklinens. You're going to stay in bed for half a year straight. You better get to brooklinen.com. You and your loved ones deserve good sheets without all those needless luxury retail prices. Okay? They make it easy. You want to upgrade your nightly routine? Give yourself a little bit of luxury in this life where you work so hard. Brooklinen makes quality luxury sheets and bedding accessible to everybody. Also a great gift idea. Let's keep that in mind coming up. All right, they cut out all the unnecessary markups, the retail licensing fees, manufacturing waste, in order to offer you high-end designs and exceptional savings across their collection. It's the fastest growing bedding brand in the world, Brooklinen, okay? Because people love these products. I love them. Their sheets have over 12,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. It's luxury bedding, but it's underpriced. You got to try it today. I love mine. Love my Brooklinen sheets. You're going to try these sheets, and I know you will love them too. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code BEAUTIFUL at Brooklinen.com. In fact, Brooklinen is so confident that you'll love your new sheets, they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. No reason not to give these sheets a try for yourself or as a gift this holiday season. Give the gift of luxury sheets. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping, use the promo code BEAUTIFUL at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code is BEAUTIFUL. Brooklinen, telling you, these are the best sheets ever. Support for today's show comes from Squarespace. Ready to start your new business? Make it stand out with Squarespace. Beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a new and unique website. You can showcase your work, your blog, you can publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. Customize everything from look and feel to settings and products using beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Not to mention, everything's optimized for mobile right out of the box. That's one of the most important things. Don't sleep on that one. You can use Squarespace's analytics to help you grow in real time and nothing to install or patch or upgrade ever. Although, of course, if you have a question, Squarespace actually has an award-winning 24/7 customer support. It's there to help, okay? The future's coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code CG to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code CG. Thanks again to all of our advertisers helping us get this show out into the world. Now, let's hear more from our concussed friend.
The socialization is important. Well, speaking of, yeah, I need to get up, get some water.
You don't have to be braggy about it. You can talk on the phone and get a glass of water at the same time? What do you do? Big show off?
Yeah, got those fancy Apple earbuds.
Ooh. Now, this makes, I think, you know, concussions have been a thing we've all been hearing about lately with football, with CTE, right? Football,
yeah,
pro wrestlers and stuff. And I got to say, I was like you in that you think of it, you're like, oh, right, you get your concussion, you have headaches and stuff, and that sucks for a while. But it does sound like if someone got a concussion to the level that you're at, the idea that they would have to play, that they'd have to run headfirst. There are people dealing with this, and they will get back up and run into a 300-pound man voluntarily over and over again a week later. It must put it in perspective for you. You must now read those stories and be like, oh, this is madness.
Oh, yeah. I like kind of like I got back to watching just a little bit of football recently, and I saw a quarterback get hit and just his head was like this instant little bit of like stress for me to just even see it happen. I was like, oh no, don't do that. And yeah, the rate that they come back is just like, no wonder these guys are losing their minds, you know, age, whatever, 40, 50, that it's really a bummer. And the thing that I'm really, I feel like some of my PTs and doctors have been telling me is, again, we all have this idea of it's this thing that only happens in contact sports and stuff. Is they tell me, oh yeah, we have all these adult patients and people that you hit your head and you go back and you keep working and you don't realize how bad it is, and you know how many people are just like wrecking themselves and causing more damage to themselves because they either don't realize they have it or they don't have the luxury of having a, you know, like a decent employer that can give them the health, you know, the health care time they need or whatever. Yeah, that really bums me out to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've mentioned it on the show many times. I'm a wrestling fan, and those guys, too. They finally started, WWE has finally started saying, like, oh, no, we got a concussion protocol now. And certain people can't wrestle if you've had too many concussions. And a lot of these guys are like, this is my livelihood. I have to fight it. But then it's like, no, you read all these stories about, you know, football players and wrestlers who wind up with severe mental problems and like these very gruesome suicides and early onsets of conditions that happen in their 40s that usually don't happen to people until they're in their 60s or 70s. And it's really super grim.
Yeah, and like the I don't really know how they do it in sports, but I'm like learning a bit about this, and I've had friends and family ask me, they're like, "Oh, do you want to go into physical therapy now that you know so much about this?" I'm like, "No, it's just I think it's absorbed my life for so long. Of course, I'm going to learn as much about getting better as I can." they have this protocol where they're asking you all these questions about how you feel. So these athletes have this sort of incentive to lie to a certain extent. So they have like these scales of how do you feel? How's this symptom? So they can be lying and to get back on the field so they can get paid and then like be hurting themselves even more. And that's like really scary. And even for myself, when they're like, taking me through this protocol of symptoms and stuff. It's like, well, like, I don't know. I thought I was a 4 this day, but it turns out what I thought was a 4 was only a 2. And now it's a 10, you know, it's really, and I'm sure the doctors all know this, that it's such an imperfect science still. And that it's still hard. Like that it's invisible, you know, it's hard to deal with that. Like, people just have to take me on my word, and it doesn't help with the anxiety, you know?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Because one day I look like normal, I sound like normal, and then all of a sudden I'm internally dealing with, like, I can barely function, I can barely get out of bed the next day, and that's been really stressful.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's good that your employer's understanding, although it's kind of a stunning condemnation that the NPR concussion protocol is more understanding than the NFL concussion protocol. That's a little bad.
I don't technically work for NPR. I say that partially to maintain any anonymity, and partially I always joke because all my friends are always like, "That's so cool, you work for NPR." I'm like, well, like, there's a little, not to cheapen military service, but it's like kind of like stolen valor to be like, oh, I work for NPR. Like, right. I'm just like at the local station that carries NPR content.
Yeah, I mean, I know how public radio works enough that I assumed you didn't work directly for NPR. But man, the NPR versus NFL concussion protocol joke, it was sitting right there on the table. I couldn't not do it. I had to do it. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're totally welcome to just take that little softball.
Yeah.
That was more an explanation for the listeners out there.
I've run it. It seems like that's actually, what I've found in the public radio world is that's actually kind of it's a little bit of a touchy thing I have found. Not like people get real worked up, but you say to somebody, you work for NPR, and they go, no, actually I work for this affiliate in specific. I am not an employee. That is just a blanket thing that gets thrown around a lot. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's more like I admire the work that's done at the national level so much that like I just don't want to equate that like me just doing, you know, just cutting daily content that's real simple is like the same as people who are going out and doing like really, really great field work that takes a ton of time and effort is the same, you know.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what your story, the sports stuff, as soon as we started talking concussions, the football stuff was going to come up. You know what this just really underlines to me as well? The NCAA is like, I would say almost borderline evil, huh? That's almost an evil organization.
Oh, there's a lot for me to unpack there. I grew up hating sports because I was in a small town where, I'll go ahead and say the team. It was like, if you don't love Ohio State football, you're evil. It was like you worship them. And, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of places, and like Texas is a big football state. I'm sure there's a lot of places like that there.
Michigan, and, your enemies, Michigan.
Yeah. And I just didn't care about football as a kid. Then I went to college and like I had a buddy who was really into football and I learned the game and I was like, oh, this is really fun. This is cool. And I got into college football and then, you know, I got older and got quote unquote, you know, more woke about it. Like, oh, this is like such bull. These kids are like, they're not getting paid. There's all this money wrapped in it. Where, you know, where's that money going? And like, there's all this money going into sports, but not the schools. Yeah. I don't know if that's what you were saying is the problem with it, but
yeah, the
whole barely watch it anymore. It's so disappointing.
It is. It's like, these kids, you get these 19-year-old kids and they go out on Saturdays and they participate in this thing that generates like billions of dollars in ticket sales and TV revenue and merchandise sales, and they don't get paid a dime. But then they say, well, you're getting a free college education, which the cost of a college education versus the actual amount of TV revenue some of these like Big Ten and SEC schools make, it's a drop in the bucket. It's not a fair wage compared to what the money they're bringing in. And then on top of it, it's like, how much of an education are they getting really when you're a 19-year-old kid running headfirst into a, you know, like a defensive lineman who's trying to rip your head off your shoulders and giving you 6 concussions over 4 years? Do you think you're really soaking in a lot of knowledge? Do you really think this is a, do you think Socrates would be proud of this educational system here? Do we want to be? And then that's not even getting into the fact that a lot of the, you know, a lot of the people who are maybe put in this situation are disproportionately people from economic circumstances where we couldn't necessarily pay for a college education, or from communities that you know minority communities. Like, there's all sorts of social issues there too, where it's like, oh, this is, we're just lying that the education here is like a valid payment, because this, you're just asking people to just crush their brains for our entertainment and they don't get a dollar. And then it's like, oh yeah, you had to practice from 4 a.m. till 9 p.m. at night, but luckily we have a bunch of courses set up for you that are easy A's, and you got half a dozen concussions. Congrats on your degree. It's like, it's a backwards thing. Just pay those kids. I actually don't mind football being at the college level, but pay those kids. Pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Give them money. They make all the money.
You just took all those words out of my mouth.
That's coming from a comedian.
And
every theater that doesn't, my home theater doesn't pay performers. Pay the people who make the money. That should be a policy. If the people make the money, they should get some of the money. That's a good policy in life.
Yeah. Well, and then you say it's like, well, oh, we give the kids the scholarships, but most of them aren't on scholarships on top of that.
Yeah.
Like, I came from, actually, before this job, it was a weird sort of jump I made in a weird world, or a weird way I sort of got my professional footing, because it's just not something that exists in the world. But we sort of built this like startup nonprofit that is like an after-school music program. To give kids access to like recording and music education that couldn't do it otherwise, or just like kind of bring kids from all over the city, all different socioeconomic worlds, and just bring them together with music and playing it. And, you know, yeah, so many of those kids who are, you know, from broken homes and from like lower social economic class, they're like, well, yeah, I'm going to depend on my music and my football to get me into college or get me through life. And even if they were going to school to do those things, it was like, those things are like, they're only viable for so few people. And I'm never like going to try to wreck a kid's dream, but I'm always trying to tell them like, be open to other possibilities. Yeah. It's really hard. But like, yeah, things like the NCAA, they pitch that of, oh yeah, like even though you're coming to no name school to play for no scholarship, you're in college and you're, that's good. But yeah, they're not getting great education. They're out practicing every day and getting these concussions. And yeah, I'd be really curious to know like what percentages of kids who are playing football in college are able to use those degrees afterwards.
It's real. It's real evil stuff. But what do you get? Ohio, right? Ohio.
Oh man, that little thing is the bane of my childhood. Actually, I saw Bo Burnham in Columbus, and somebody yelled that out during his show, the OH thing. Have you ever seen that where people just yell that and you're supposed to yell the IO back?
Yeah. How'd Bo take that
one? Somebody yelled it during his show. I don't know if you're familiar with his shows. They're very, you know, tightly choreographed, right?
Yeah, he puts a lot of thought, a lot of work into what he does.
Yeah, and just in the middle of it, somebody yells that, and he's just like, what was that? Like, he's a young guy. I don't think he even knew what it was. And goes off on this rant of how it's like this sort of like fascist group think thing. I was just like, yes. It was great.
Look at that. You show up at the Bo Burnham show, and Bo, who I think is a very, very talented, very, very smart human being, you're here, you're like, yeah, we're going to hear some jokes, we're going to hear some stories, he's going to get thoughtful, it's going to be funny, maybe we'll have a song or two. Little did I know, he will express all my preteen frustrations for me from the pulpit of the stage.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
So
it was very fulfilling.
You've been laid up 5 months. Wave, wave, put you on your ass. Mother Nature smacked you down. What are the things, as you said, the past, you know, coming up on the past week, it's actually starting to feel like, okay, maybe progress is being made. What are the things we take for granted that you've been missing the most?
Oh, that's a really good question. well, for me, I would say, The things that I'm like really dying to get back to are my sort of more creative times, my like creative social time. Like I have just little silly podcast projects I do with friends, and then I have my improv group, because what Chris Gethard fan wouldn't have their improv groups that they're in.
Oh, good God.
Like, so I'm...
Oh, good God. No, that's
very
cool.
Insulting?
No, it's just, it's there's so my relationship with improv is like lifelong and layered, and but I do like laughing about it. I do like laughing about it. No, that's great. I think it's great. I think improv's a great thing and good creative.
Actually, this could actually help me kind of sum up to answer your question is, I've actually learned kind of during this time, just sitting, thinking a lot, to like, just sort of accept the things that have always been a core of me, and just like embrace them, because since I was probably 12 years old, I always was really into improv. I loved Whose Line Is It Anyway? I don't know. Was there any other like improv shows that were on in like the mid-90s?
No, that was the
but,
big one.
Like, was obsessed.
Big one.
Yeah. I was really into like fantasy and like video game RPGs, but I was afraid to get into Dungeons and Dragons. And there's been like this bit of a resurgence of it, that it's like kind of getting hip now.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I'm like getting some friends together and we're like talking about it. And I've been like it's really fun that like I don't really need to be on the computer for. I've been like planning here's how we're gonna play Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm just like embracing like here's these things that like.
Wait, why were you scared of it?
I always wanted to do.
You think it was gonna turn you into like a Satan worshiper?
No, I was a nerdy kid who was already getting picked on, and like, you know, I was afraid like this is the step of like. I'm already getting made fun of. Yeah. Like, if I go all the way from these video games into the pen and paper RPGs, man, I'm never gonna get girls to talk to me.
Yeah.
These kids are never gonna stop making fun of me.
So it was more social strategy. Like, it was a strategic move more than fear of the game itself. It's fear of the impact on your social life.
Yeah, there was maybe just this little piece of it just that hung on all the way until now, and now I've just had this time to just sit and reckon with it, you know, and maybe just shed the last of it and just be like, you know what? Just let go and do you, man. Who cares?
Yeah. So then it seems like the short answer is like, you're basically like, I just want to get back to being myself, just unapologetically, not overthinking it, just being myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, there was, cause I was sort of just starting the improv thing. I was actually halfway through the level one class when I got the concussion, and I was showing up every week just like, sorry guys, I got like migraines. I don't know what's wrong. I'm kind of losing my mind, and just kind of hustling through. And
I have to sink my teeth in this because I should be good. Because first of all, I just want to say a couple things. One, I just said, like, oh, my relationship with improv. I love improv. And I also had mentioned that UCB doesn't pay. That's a big thing. I do think, especially for stand-ups, I think they need to get in touch just before there's any controversy within the comedy, the UCB sphere, as UCB people listen to this, and I'm an old veteran of that. I think with improv, it's a little different because improv costs a lot of money to do if you have to rent theaters and get permits and fire marshals. Stand-up, I just think UCB needs to learn a little bit about how stand-up works. This is the whole so okay for that. But so you're in your level one improv class, and I've taught hundreds of level one improv classes. I actually love teaching improv even more. I miss teaching more than I miss performing. I would love to go back to teaching improv someday. Mm-hmm. I thought about doing it soon, actually. It's probably surprising to a lot of people. But having taught literally hundreds of improv classes, you were that guy everyone was a little worried about who halfway through you started to lose your mind. You were that guy. We all know now it's because physical reasons, but you're the guy showing up halfway through class that's like, oh, I can't really see right. Anyway, I'm losing my mind. Let's do some improv, guys. You were the crazy guy in your improv class, huh? I have dealt with so many crazy guys in improv classes over the years. So many. So many. I could write a book just about the crazy people I've met in improv classes, but I will not write that book because who would want to buy that book? You know what? You might want to buy some of the products and services you're about to hear about right now. We got advertisers. They helped me bring you this show for free. Check them out. Use the promo codes. We'll be back with more phone call in just a second. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. I sleep on a Casper myself, and I really and genuinely love it. My wife says she has no interest in sleeping on anything besides a Casper ever again. There's three mattress models: the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential. Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, breathable design helps you keep cool at night, regulates your body temperature, very important. It's delivered right to your door, by the way, in a small, how do they do that size box? There's free shipping and returns in the US and Canada, but best part, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. After all, you spend a third of your entire life sleeping. Let's make sure it's good. Like I said, I sleep on one. I love it. When that box came, my wife was so flabbergasted that a mattress could fit in a box that small. I was in Edinburgh, Scotland. She FaceTimed me and showed me the unboxing experience, and I flipped out. And then I get to go home. I get to sleep on that thing. Best sleep of my life. It's the best. You got to start sleeping ahead of the curve. Do it with Casper. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/beautiful using beautiful at checkout. That's casper.com/beautiful. The offer code is beautiful. You get $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks again to all of our advertisers bringing you this show. Now let's finish off this phone call. You were the crazy guy in your improv class, huh?
Yeah. I didn't know that was a stereotype, but I was absolutely that guy.
Always a crazy guy.
It was like the one sort of like weekly safe space, you know?
Yeah.
Where you show up and everybody sits in the round chairs.
Yeah.
And it's just like, kind of like, let's all just check in and relax before we just start playing. Yeah. And I'm the guy that's like, this is the one place where I feel safe saying, like, I'm losing my mind and I don't know why, because I've never had mental health issues like this before. Because at work,
great.
I'm like, I'm just trying to hold it together because I'm the new guy.
Of course. Like, that's funny.
Yeah, I work with mostly older people, and I feel like mental health symptoms with older people, that's still pretty stigmatized, that I was just like kind of telling them, like, I'm having headaches, like, you know, and trying to keep it at that before I knew it was a physical thing that made sense. So I was just like letting it all out there, and they're like, okay.
I think that's
like,
great.
Come up, keep playing the games.
Lord, if anyone, I will say actually one of my favorite things about the improv community is that historically it does accommodate people who are actively losing their minds, real fringe people. And I benefited from that more than anybody. During the time when I was at my most mentally unhinged was also at the time where I found my footing in the comedy world via improv harder than any other. And I think it is because it's an art form that is sort of strangely and beautifully accommodating to, like, oh, you seem like you're really unraveling. That seems like it might lead to a lot of potential on stage.
Yeah, well, I think it's, and like internally, personally, it was, even though I had a physical reason that it was happening that needed dealt with, it was the one time that I was kind of having some symptom relief. So I think it is really healthy for people who are losing their mind. I think I always described it as like, I was like, I feel like this is the one time a week I'm just kind of putting my brain in a jar and like letting it rest because I'm not thinking about everything that I'm doing. Yeah. I'm just kind of letting it happen.
It is. Well, it's also when it's at its best, and it can get, you know, it can get very political and very competitive, but when it's at its best, it's a place where judgment is put. It's judgment is left at the door. And any level of freakazoid can come in and at least try, and you have to at least try to play ball. But yeah, I would say there's many improv stereotypes that I can fill the world in on if you'd like to hear some of them right now. I can be quick about it.
I would, because I have my own that are like, and I'm like, I'm loving it and I'm really looking forward to being back to it. But I was so like, because I also, like, I grew up as a both loving improv and loving stand-up, and I feel like there's this stigma from the stand-up world of it's like, oh, improv, that's like those silly, like, there's people who just, like, goof around and, like, it's not real comedy.
I do a lot more stand-up now. I go back and forth because I'm like, the stand-ups do roll their eyes at the improvisers, like you're saying it, but I think the improv people's fear of the stand-ups doing that actually far outweighs the reality of how much stand-ups are worried about improv. Like, the chip on the shoulder of improv kids who assume stand-up hates them, the level of worry they tap into far outweighs the level to which stand-ups give a shit about improv. Like, so there's the improv people tend to perpetuate it on themselves a little bit more than the reality, in my opinion, being that I do both.
I literally told no one that I was doing the class. I think I told like my sister and maybe one other person. I told no one until like it was the week before the showcase. At the end of the class, I announced it on Facebook. It was like, hey guys, I've been secretly doing this. You guys could come, that'd be great. And then I think it was a few days later is when I got diagnosed with concussion. It was like, by the way, not doing that. Maybe next time. But yeah, everybody on Facebook was like, oh, that's so cool. I wish you told me. I want to do it with you.
Yeah, people assume that there's more
totally
of a...
in my head.
Yes. I also have to say, too, another of the list of mistakes you made, playing a lot of music and doing a lot of physical activity, going out in the heat. Also, if you have an active concussion that's not healing, doing a level one improv class could not be a worse choice. It's a lot of, like, rolling around on the ground and hooting and hollering and clapping and physically shaking each other and lifting each other up in the air, all under hot lights. Yet another of the things you did that seems like the worst possible choice to do with an active concussion. Here's some of the people. Just really quick, so I'm not leaving this Chekhov's gun sitting on the table. You got your person. Here's the people you meet in an improv class. You got your guy who's visibly losing his mind and is either gonna go totally off the deep end in a scary way, or this is gonna be something that helps normalize it to a degree and show community. You were that. Who else do you have in the improv class? You have the. You have the guy who was really big into team sports growing up. You have your jock who played football, basketball, who secretly always wanted to be an artist, and improv resembles team sports enough, but they tend to maybe go a little overboard and be like, it's go time, let's do this. And everybody else is like, we're nerds, stop yelling. You have that person. You have, you have the female member of the class who is quietly and clearly the most talented person, but who all the dumb boys won't let talk. You have that situation where if you have a good teacher, then halfway through the class, the teacher will finally just go, stop yelling over her. She's more talented than all of you. Just pay attention and learn from her. And then she goes, thank you. You know, you're welcome. I'm sorry that these moronic boys who like improv couldn't stop shouting. They just needed to hear themselves so much. You have that. Who else do you have? Oh, you have the creep. You have the creep who's there using it as a dating pool. You got that. You got a lot of people in there. You got a lot of those people in there. You have, you have the person who's done a lot of LSD. You got a person who've used this as just an extension of the trip. You got that. The person who does a lot of MDMA and LSD and views this as a way to sort of commune with humanity. And those are very generally very nice people who can actually be quite good, but you have to at some point as a teacher pull them aside and gently say, hey, you can't, any opportunity to talk can't be used for you to have 40 minutes on telling us about what it was like to do synthetic drugs at a rave in 2004. You can't do that. So those are just some of the people you meet in any given improv class. There's a lot more.
What? I think we only had two of those. I think we had me, the crazy guy, and the first one you said.
The team sports guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Don Finelli.
And
that's the Don Finelli.
We had, there was also a couple of, and I think also, I don't know if it's different because you always did UCB in New York.
Yeah.
I don't know if a like small Midwestern setting makes the difference because we had a lot of sort of people, you know, like myself, 30 to 50, who are like, I'm sort of drifting socially, just looking to like sort of find myself and branch out and like get more comfortable in my skin. Just like I need to find a way to branch out of my norms. Like we had this one woman who was like sweet as could be, like single mom from out in the suburbs, like. You know, I just kind of got away from a life that was kind of really restricting to me. And I'm looking to just find a way to kind of have some more agency, you know, some control.
And that's what I think is the best thing about comedy and the arts in general.
A lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people like that, which is, and they're really cultivating a really nice scene with this group that I'm working with.
That's good. Is
a big part of why I want to keep going back.
All about that. Anything that people can do if they feel like I've gotten a little complacent, a little bit tunnel visioned, and I want to break out of it, I'm all for that. And that's what improv was for me. And
absolutely.
Here, I got a question to get it back to your concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, I'm sure you get this a lot, you sound like a stoner. You are aware that you sound like a stoner, right? Are you a stoner?
People used to ask me that a lot, maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I drank a lot.
Yeah.
but I'm not. I could probably count on my fingers the number of times I've smoked weed in my life.
That is shocking. 'Cause you do not speak like these. You don't have the stereotypical vocal affectations of a born and raised Ohioan. You sound like someone from 1980s California.
Interesting.
Even the way you said that.
It's born and raised, man.
Even the way, you do have to understand that I accused you of sounding like an 80s Californian, and your answer was, interesting. Ohio born and raised, man. That's how you answered that.
I think there's this weird sort of pocket of where I'm from that we have like a sort of cultural affectation to the way we talk.
Yeah.
That is sort of like not the standard, like not totally straightforward, non-affected Midwestern. I can't even do it. Yeah. I just have this weird drawl to how I talk, and it's has nothing to do with drugs. Like, yeah, I was a drinker maybe too long after college, but, I barely do anything anymore. It's just a weird way I talk. And it's probably the nervous laugh, too.
Oh, no.
So I'm a big nervous laugher.
So people from Ohio might be, people with a real familiarity of Ohio might be listening right now going, I have a feeling I know where this guy's from because that's the stoner sounding pocket of Ohio.
Well, it's got to be like sort of from this city and running in these circles. I drank some water wrong.
Yeah,
okay.
I can tell.
I think I'm all right.
It doesn't sound like you are.
Okay, I'm good.
Wait a second. You sure? Take a second.
Much better.
Cool. Good. Great. Good. Great.
Yeah, and I don't know. It probably comes from running around in the, sort of stupid indie hipster punk rock worlds.
That's cool. That's cool. So that,
which, by the way,
yeah,
as per your whole music, I want to throw out that she probably doesn't remember, but Laura Stevenson and I have a pact to get married at some point that we made like 11 years ago.
Really?
That I just remembered from your hold music.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm very good friends.
I don't remember why.
You have a pact to get married to my friend Laura Stevenson, who, if you're listening to this show and you're not familiar, I actually feel like listeners of this show would love Laura Stevenson. I actually feel like across the board.
I think they would too.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like there's a punk rock contingent of fans of the Beautiful Anonymous world, but I also think there's people who are decidedly not punk rock, but where I have a feeling, knowing our fan base, that if you just listen to Laura Stevenson, I have a feeling a lot of our fans would go, oh, this is the punk rock for me. I feel like she really would connect. That being said, also, I'm very, very good friends with Laura Stevenson's husband, so should just mention, and also know they are both active listeners to this podcast. So
you should probably let him know, too.
Yeah, Mike, my buddy Mike, you know, who's married to Laura, good friend of mine. We touch base all the time, listens to the podcast. Just want to say, Mike, this is me stepping up on your behalf, letting this dude from Ohio know, back off, okay? Back off. This marriage pact, It bit the dust a couple years ago. I attended the wedding, my friend, so I can vouch for it. I attended the wedding. It's not a conspiracy theory.
This is a good opportunity, maybe, for me to just let her know, like, it's okay. It's broken off.
So you,
in case she was worried about that.
So you...
contract's officially okay to let it go.
So a concussion-stricken man in the middle of Ohio who once made a marriage pact with my friend, the punk rocker, Laura Stevenson... You're officially going on record saying marriage pact is over and you're okay with it. She married Mike and that's cool by you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Because apparently I had forgotten about it too until it was announced on the whole music. And I was like, oh yeah.
I'm supposed to marry her.
It was at the...
Oh.
If they have any memory of it, this is a little inside baseball just for a second, but she, Bob and Music Industry in the early days... with your buddy Jeff Rosenstock.
Oh, yeah. Just got breakfast with Jeff 2 days ago. Yeah.
They stayed at my place the first few years they were doing it. And it was the place that had the endless freezer of frozen burritos, they remember.
The endless freezer frozen burritos. That sounds like a really magical place.
Yeah.
That's a place I would like to go.
But that's enough, yeah, inside baseball of DIY punk rock from the early 2000s.
And for anybody, because I've never truly lived the DIY life, but I'm certainly associated with it through my many ventures in New York and the circles I run with, let alone my wife, who has been a big part of it. I can say that if you lived in a house that was willing to let bands crash on your floor And you also promised a freezer of endless frozen burritos. This meant you were, this was like a fantasy land that people probably planned tours around.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if we had the endless freezer more than one visit, but it was pretty epic.
Yeah, because if that's a running thing, it's like people will say, we got to route ourselves through Ohio to go get those burritos.
Yeah.
That's cool. That, another punk rocker from Ohio. Our friend Tim, who runs Culture Clash Records, another music guy from Ohio who's been on this show.
Oh, not familiar with him.
Yeah, guy, there's a record store in Toledo. A guy called up, said, should I buy this record store, Chris Gethard? I said, yeah. And then I later.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that's in Toledo. I went to the record store and it was great. Great record store.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, Ohio punk rockers, strong presence on Beautiful Anonymous.
Yes, that is very good to hear. I was really hoping to get through on the Fest episode, but that was, I think, probably past my brain-injured bedtime.
Yeah. So what do you think? Are you past the point of even saying maybe it's next week, maybe it's a month? Are you past the point of even trying to guess when you're going to be up and running?
Yeah, I've sort of kind of learned to accept that it's going to be forward, backwards for a while. Like, you know, like I said, I can walk 15, 20 minutes and not get a headache. Next week, I'll be at work for about 3 hours a week.
Oh, you are. You're committed. You're going back. That's nice.
Yeah. By December, I will probably be full time at work, but I will still probably socially be not doing much, you know, not, and then like my other activities will still, I'm like just sort of accepting it might be months before I'm able to like travel, play music, work out. You know, I'm a big, big on staying healthy, and so I like to swim and like bike and stuff, but I'm like, yeah, it might be several months. I might get a little chubbier. We'll see. And it's like accepting that is a huge, huge, huge part of it, which is like sort of my other big, I don't know, sort of Buddha acceptance of this whole thing.
Yeah. Spirit, you had to tap into that Zen. Now, here's a big question. Are you ever going to swim in the ocean again? Are you ever going to swim in that ocean again?
Yeah. I mean,
what?
That's also part of it, you know, is you have to just keep going.
Yeah, but why do you have to go back? I don't like the ocean's very salty. It's full of creatures from the depths. It's hot. My wife loves the ocean. I was hoping maybe she'd listen to this episode and say, yeah, I'm going to. But first of all, even the fact that I'm bringing her up, we did not get to the beach at all this summer, and she's not going to be psyched that I'm anti-beach when I didn't even get to go.
Uh-huh.
But I was hoping my wife might listen to this, and you might say, no, the beach, stick to pools, stick to places that are a little calmer. Because the beach, it's full of creatures and strange things, and anything I can do to avoid it. But
there's definitely, I should learn to be a little more weary of what waves I'm capable of dealing with.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, living in fear of things is just no way to be.
Really? Tell me about this theory, because I live in fear every minute of every day.
I sort of, like, there's a little bit of, low-grade anxiety I've always dealt with is that, like, I especially get a little afraid of, like, leaving my comfort zone of home. Like, when I have to travel, especially, like, for gigs, I'm like, I have to be around people for, like, a whole weekend or something. And I'm, like, always have this little fear of, like, I'm not going to have fun. I might get sick. I might just not feel good. And I'm just like, I know, like, I'm thinking this, and as soon as I step into it, it will be fun because I know this is supposed to be a fun thing. And as soon as I've crossed over, then the fear goes away. And I can't limit my life by being afraid of things that I know are supposed to be fun. That's how I've always managed. And this one just might take a little longer, you know?
Now, my friend, that's a very beautiful thought. I'm going to tell you something. we're at the end of our time here, but I've made an executive decision that the last thing I want to do is end this particular phone call with a surprise high-pitched ringing bell sound. I didn't think that would be a cool thing to do.
What?
Usually the show, the phone calls end with a bell coming out of nowhere. And then we were just counting down from 30 seconds, and Jared and I looked at each other with a shared look of panic of, we can't just...
Oh, it would have been fine.
No, it wouldn't. We can't just out of nowhere just rip a high-pitched bell into this guy's ear, have him back, have him extend his disability for 9 more months. Oh, I was getting better. I was finally able to get up and walk across my room, call the podcast, and they set off a jackhammer bell in my head, and now I can't go back to work for 2 more years. I can't be responsible for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the end of our time together, my friend. But this was a very eye-opening call. And thanks for calling up. Like, slicing through the boredom of sitting around, talking to me, filling me in, had a good time joking around with you, and I hope you feel better real soon.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for talking, man. This means so much to me. I appreciate it. Love-
Good timing, Jared. Caller, thank you so much for the information, for the good spirits, for the charm. Also want to apologize on behalf of my friend Jared O'Connell, who rudely cut you off midway through your closing sentence where you were expressing such appreciation for my work and my podcast. I always love when people tell me nice things, and Jared couldn't handle it. He had to cut you off mid-word. But sincerely, thank you for calling. It sounds like you're on the other side of it, and I hope that is the case and that you feel better very soon. Thank you to Jared. I'm giving Jared a tough time. Jared O'Connell. The real captain of this ship. Harry Nelson in the booth today as well. Thank you as always, Harry. Thank you, Harry, for helping to feed me some of those improv stereotypes as well. Thanks to Shell Shack for the intro music. Thanks to John Talore, Greta Korn for helping to build the show. ChrisGeth.com if you want info on me and my touring dates. If you like the show, really, really helps if you rate, review, subscribe, go to Apple Podcasts. Do that. Helps a lot. See you next time with more Beautiful Anonymous. Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you choose from over 1,500 licensed therapists. Get matched with your perfect therapist who can put you on the path to a happier life. For a special offer just for our listeners, visit Talkspace.com/beautiful. Next time on Beautiful Anonymous, you'll hear this and more.
Whoa. Oh, and I may or may not have listened to episodes of Beautiful Anonymous while currently dissecting a human cadaver.
Oh, no. Really? What episode?
I don't know if that, like, makes you dislike me, but...
I am into it. I promise you. Do you remember what episode of this show you listened to while dissecting a dead human body?
Black Sheep. Bipolar Anglican.
Next time on Beautiful Anonymous.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And I'm John Gabris.
And we have a new podcast, Raised by TV, where we're revisiting all of our old favorite TV shows from the 80s and 90s.
We're talking Full House, Saved by the Bell, Ren and Stimpy, The Real World, Singled Out, all the crap you could imagine.
And we'll sing our favorite theme songs.
Unfortunately.
And we'll eat really unhealthy snacks and basically relive our childhoods.
Check out Raised by TV right now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Or if this is my mom listening, give up. You're never going to figure it out.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.